business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions. Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Welcome to episode 76 of Not a Real Job, a podcast about how you can turn the things that you love to do into things that make you money. I am Joel Kelly, and I do social media, content, digital marketing, et cetera, way up in Nova Scotia, Canada.
And I am Chris Van Patten, and I sleep a lot.
So you're still sleeping?
I'm still sleeping, still, you know, on the sleep train. It's treated me well these past 20 some odd years.
Are you having good dreams?
No. I'm not having dreams. I don't dream.
Do you typically dream?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I do dream, but don't. I have no recollection of any of them if they happen.
My completely non-scientific understanding is that people dream, but you might just not remember them.
Yeah. I imagine that is the case.
Now, do you feel that you're missing out on something, you know, dramatically important?
No. It seems like a bad idea to me. Like, I do enough during the daytime. I don't want to have to put energy into my sleep situation. You know what I'm saying? Sleep is for relaxing time. You know what I mean?
I guess, but how is it relaxing if you don't remember it?
Because it's one less thing to worry about.
So it's like death in that way.
Yes, basically. I think that's probably an apt metaphor.
Something to be yearned for.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I am an incredibly vivid and active dreamer. So while there are certainly times, especially during my night terrors, where I would prefer to not dream or at least not remember them, I don't know. It'd be such a strange thing to suddenly not have dreams or not remember them. So does that mean you don't get nightmares?
It does. It does. Wow. I have neither of those things.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's glorious. I think you're missing out.
I wake up screaming from time to time. Sometimes Leah has to shake me awake because I'm making horrible noises.
It doesn't seem...
It doesn't make one terribly restful.
Sure. Which I think explains a lot.
Which gets into our topic for today's show, which is psychoanalysis.
Yes, primarily based on the theories and practices of Dr. Sigmund T. Freud, I believe.
I was going to say Carl Jung. Awkward. We've got another case of battling psychoanalysts.
I'm afraid that this is a Jung believable situation.
Well, you are very Jung, so you don't know any better.
Oh boy, that was terrible.
We fucking nailed it, I think. Did you see A Dangerous Method?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's a movie about Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud and Keira Knightley.
I've seen a lot of Frasier. Does that count?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's actually A Dangerous Method was based off of Frasier. So Keira Knightley plays what's her face from Frasier.
Sure. Oh, good old what's-her-face.
You're going to have to help me out.
Well, there are a lot of what's-her-faces.
You know, the main one. The one with the accent.
Oh, the one with the accent. That would be Daphne Moon.
From
Manchester.
And what was Brother Fraser's wife's name?
Same person.
Wait. No. The brother of Fraser had, like, didn't he have a wife or something?
He marries Daphne on the show.
Right, but didn't... Oh, see, I thought he had, like, there was some, like, ongoing ex-wife or something he had.
Oh, yeah, there is that. That's Maris.
Maris, yes.
Yes. This is our Frasier fan cast. Hope you're
enjoying
it.
I'm not a Frasier fan, but I do cast.
I have seen every episode recently, and I cried when it ended, so there you go.
Like, out of the emotional impact of the final episode, or out of, like, loss?
Both of those things. Yes. I don't want to spoil it for anyone out there who hasn't experienced the joy of Frasier, but I will say, you get a Laura Linney appearance in there, and that just sets the heart aflutter.
And it turns out it was all a dream.
And it was all a dream.
Like, Mad About You.
I don't know what that is.
It was a show. I'm pretty sure. Didn't they end that with a dream? I know Dallas had some.
I think you're thinking
thing.
Of Newhart.
You're thinking of Three's Company.
Sure.
Which
we, so you can't? Can you tell folks we have nothing to talk about?
Literally not a thing. Has anything happened to you that's not related to your mystery? Okay, is your mystery illness still a mystery?
Well, I mean, it is not an illness. We can say that much.
We can say what?
We can say that it's not a mystery, or it's not an illness anymore.
It's not. Wait,
it's gone.
Oh, it's gone.
I am healed.
Wow. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the saving power of our Lord and Savior really, you know, pulled me through this one, and I'm you know, happy to be back and devote myself to the Lord Christ,
to His works. Yeah.
Yes.
So, speaking of proselytizing, what is your schedule vis-a-vis door-to-door preaching work?
Because
you know you're in New York, correct?
Sure. So there are plenty of opportunities to convert the sinners.
Well, I was going to say the global headquarters for a very popular cult-like institution is not far from you.
Are you referring to Lehman Brothers? That's a little Occupy Wall Street goof for you there.
Wall Street. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, I am better. I went upstate for a little while to recover up there, see some doctors up there, and... the latest medication seems to have done the trick, so I am on the road to recovery, which is very exciting.
Well, I'm excited. So your butt's all cleared up.
My butt's all cleared up. I can eat normal human food again. It's, you know, it's great. It's great. I mean, I will say that subsiding on purely Jell-O for a couple days is not really the worst thing in the world. You know, the Jell-O-based diet, but I am happy to sort of get some other flavors in there too.
Now, have you started drugging and taking sexual advantage of women since you've been on the Jell-O train?
No.
That was
I
a Bill
not.
Cosby goof.
I yes.
I was making light of an incredibly serious situation,
which is what we do on this show on a fairly regular basis, I would say.
I guess you could say that.
So that's enough about me. Let's hear about the life of Joel. You've got a lot of travel coming up for your work.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over the place. I'm going to go to Las Vegas for the first time this week. That's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. I've never been there.
Yeah, so I'm going to probably gamble, lose my life savings, and just really, you know, make the best of it.
So what are all these meetings for? Are these all meetings with clients, conferences?
They're all client meetings. So this week, on Wednesday, I head over and downward to Las Vegas to meet with a client there, do a site visit of their hotel and casino.
This is interesting to me because as a person who deals with clients, it's actually very rare for me to make visits to clients, partly because the nature of my work, and I mean, granted, the nature of your work as well is very digital. So I'm curious, you know, what does it look like when you're visiting a client? You know, what, especially for you being in travel and tourism, you know, it's not an easy thing to go talk to a client. There's sort of a big production involved in travel and all that kind of stuff. So what does that look like for you? How do you get the most out of these client meetings?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Like, think of our relationship, Christopher. Mm-hmm. We were good friends. I hesitate to say best friends. I'm sure I was your best friend, but you hadn't yet really made an impression on me. But we were friends for a long time before we met in person.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you say that our relationship has been strengthened and deepened since we've met in person?
Academically speaking, sure. Yes, yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. You can have an incredibly satisfying and productive relationship with a client without ever meeting them in person or seeing their location. But I would say that seeing them, meeting them, talking to them, and establishing a face-to-face relationship is a multiplier. It's added value. It never hurts and always helps. It's not necessary, but it's welcome.
Sure. So are you in a boardroom for, you know, 8 hours a day? Are you, you know, touring the grounds, collecting, you know, photos, hyperloops, whatever.
Hyperloops. What have you? Mostly hyperloops. I devil sticks.
Sure.
Juggling.
Which one is the hyperloop? That's Elon Musk's thing. Sorry.
Hyperloop is Hyperlapse. Elon Musk's thing. Hyperlapse is the Microsoft thing, and then the Instagram thing.
Okay, got it. Anywho.
Yeah, so this trip will be, like I said, site visit is the big thing. So the client is very keen on getting us down to see what makes their hotel and casino unique, what makes it interesting, where it is, so we can kind of get a sense. We're doing other digital marketing, website development, content marketing, social media, everything like that. So, you know, that they're very keen on you know, it's a new relationship, so there's a lot of trust to be built. They're more comfortable knowing that we are more familiar with the space. And of course, we're more than happy to get to know it better. So that's really what this one, probably not that many boardrooms, more touring and kind of getting a sense of the property.
Sure. So when you're going on one of these trips, what are your metrics for success? I mean, I imagine that this kind of thing, there aren't really any, you know, hard numbers, but like, what are you as a service provider? Mm-hmm. What are you looking to get out of something like this? And, you know, what would you say to somebody, you know, like me, maybe, who's going on their first big client visit? Like, what should I prioritize? What should I prepare? What should I be thinking about going into something like this?
I'll give you two answers. The first one is the real answer. The second one is to make yourself feel better about it. The first answer, the real one, is when you leave, you want the client to think, wasn't that nice? I'm so glad they came down. And you typically do that by making them feel comfortable, making them, you know, feel like you know what you're talking about, being fun, not fun as in, you know, oh, we're going to party hard and, you know, bring the agency, you know, excitement to your place, but just be fun and interesting and make them think for the next couple days, I'm so glad, you know, those people from the agency came down. It's actually advice I got a long, long time ago at a different agency I worked at. They said the most fun and interesting part of your client's week is when they meet with the agency. And then, you know, obviously you go, well, what if it isn't? And the follow up is, well, it should be. Like, that's your job. Mm-hmm. People are paying you to feel good, to feel confident, and to get good work done. Think of your client's personal motivations. Everyone wants to believe that their motivation is to make more money for the business. But these are people. Like, you know, unless it's a single, like a individual sole proprietor, your client, the person who you deal with day to day, they have different motivations. And their motivations might be, I want to get a promotion. I want to be known as the person who hired the best agency. I want us to win an award. I want revenue to go up by X percent and have it be attributed to the work I did. That's what your job as a partner is to make the person who hired you and their bosses and their coworkers feel better and more confident and to get better work done. So that's the answer. Why am I going on these trips? Is, well, this one is to get to know the client, to build some trust, to get them to ideally, you know, be interested in what we have to say. And, you know, for me to extract as much information about what makes them tick, what makes their hotel and casino interesting, what makes the restaurants better than everything else, what makes the location interesting. So I can build this entire story in my mind about what makes this place special so that through our work, we can talk about it. That's goal number one. The answer that you tell yourself to make yourself feel better is all that other stuff. Like, well, we're going to go down there. I'm going to take lots of photos. You know, this is going to be clearly, you know, we're going to see the payoff in this in a week from now. All the numbers are going to skyrocket for all the metrics because we went on this visit. Like, you know, ideally. But the real answer is that we're going to make a connection. I'm going to know them better. They're going to know me and my colleagues better. And this relationship is going to build and flourish from here.
That's very deep.
We have to remember that we're marketers. What we do is marketing. Every yeah. single piece of what you do every day as a marketer is marketing. And if for a second you slip and you forget that, you're failing. And that's what frustrates me so much is people seem to think that if you're working marketing, if you work in an agency, if you work at advertising, for some reason you think the only advertising you're doing today is when you're writing copy for an ad. Like, no, when you talk to your boss, when you talk to your coworker, when you talk to your client, when you talk to the public, it's all marketing. It's all about persuading people to make their lives, business, work better. That is your job. That's what the money is for. That's what you're getting paid to do. And every second as a marketer you spend not marketing, you're failing incrementally, but failing.
So when you're on one of these trips, let's get a little deeper into this. And
okay.
I guess what I mean by that is, like, let's talk the after hours. This is getting more into like networking sort of territory and things like that. But when you're in a place like Vegas, where there is a lot of the devil's temptations, let's say, how do you make sure that, you know, you don't embarrass yourself? What are the tricks to make sure that, like, even in those sort of situations where, you know, you find yourself replicating the movie The Hangover, whatever it is, like, you know, how do you avoid those situations, or what are your tips, you know, for maybe making the most out of the time that's not necessarily spent, you know, in the boardroom or whatever, or touring the premises, but like those client dinners and things like that, right? Like, how do you prepare yourself for those, and what's your strategy in those situations?
Okay. Do you want me to, okay. All right. There's a lot to unpack in that question. Let me start with the most practical stuff. And for everyone who wants to jump to the same conclusion, which is, this is all like, if you watch Mad Men or House of Lies, you think all advertising people are up to the same games where we just go and party and get drunk and show up to meetings hungover. Have I partied a little too hard at work trips before? Absolutely. And the only important thing to learn there, well, the only important thing about that is, as long as you learn your lesson, that's all that matters. Not a thing to make a habit of, but we all miscalculate. Mm-hmm. So let me, I have become in a fairly short time an incredibly regimented traveler. I'm not a person who's good at routine or organization, but I am a person who accepts that it is the best way to get something done. So I have my toiletry bag is already packed for my trips because it's always packed. I have a separate bag of toothbrushes, toothpaste, deodorant, beard oil, moisturizer. Everything that I need is a separate bag that's ready to go at all times. I lay all my clothes out ahead of time. Like, this kind of thing works for me. So when I travel, the night before, in fact, if we landed, we just got, you know, from the airport, we go to the hotel, we're all going to regroup in a bit to get some work done or have a drink or go meet the client. In those 15 minutes I have before there's another obligation, I unpack everything I need for the next day. I set up the coffee maker in the hotel room. I set my alarm on both the thing in the room and my phone, and I set a wake-up call. I put, you know, my vitamins, a couple caffeine pills if I have them, everything on the bedside table, and a glass of water, so that no matter what happens, whether it is, oh, whoops, had a few too many drinks, or we just get back late, or for some reason, when the alarm goes off in the morning, I am set and I have given myself, you know, ideally, I give myself, no matter how late I'm out, I give myself 2 hours from alarm going off to client meeting every single morning. So that usually means I'm getting up when I'm on the road, not long after 5. And yes, it sucks. And yes, I'm a little more tired than I like, but I have a clear head and I'm good. Even if we haven't, you know, gone out for dinner or had a few drinks the night before, I'm still doing the same routine. So I am set and alert and good, because the clients are, you know, it's not cheap for your agency to come see you sometimes, you know, whether the client's paying for it, if we're doing a new business thing. But the idea is that there's value we're expected to provide here. So if you're hungover or just tired, even if you're not drinking, if you're just tired and not bringing your A game, you're doing both your agency and your company and your boss a disservice, but the client as well. So that's my tip, is iron your clothes the night before. Plan for the worst. Assume that your alarm's not going to go off in time. I plan for the possibility that I will have to go from, oh shit, I overslept, to shoes on, visiting the client in 10 minutes. I want everything to be ready. So that's the contingency planning section. I think you should do that no matter what your plans for the evening are. Be ready for the next morning. The other part is, how do you not embarrass yourself? Have a sense of humor about yourself, because people will pressure you to have more drinks than you normally want. Or you might go out to a place that doesn't have any food you can eat. As someone who doesn't eat meat or dairy, that happens to me. So you end up not eating and having a couple drinks. Or people want to be out later than you are. Have a sense of humor. Be self-deprecating. And when it's time for you to go get some sleep, you leave and say, I'm done. This was awesome, but I'm a little baby who needs to go to sleep. And just do it. Don't let anyone else dictate your schedule. Because at the end of the day, or frankly, at the beginning of the next day, you've got no one to blame but yourself. Like, people will, it's possible that people will say, no, stay out, have a drink, or we're going to go see this other place, or we should go meet this other person, you know. It will all be someone else's fault that night. But in the morning, if you're not clear-eyed, clear head, ready to go, no one is going to accept the blame on your behalf. So own it. Don't embarrass yourself. Drink lots of water. And remember that you're here to work. You're getting paid for this. You're not getting paid to have fun. You're getting paid to get great work done.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Great advice.
Boom. Nailed it.
You know, for, I don't know how many, you know, freelancers do a lot of travel, but I think there gets to be a point, even for a freelancer, where it's necessary to, you know, go out and present yourself. You know, as much as some of us might like to, you know, sort of stay in our bedrooms and confine the communication to email and things like that, there does get to be a certain point in everyone's career, I think, where the face-to-face really matters. So I think that's great advice for managing some of those face-to-face interactions, especially when you're in a, you know, when somebody's hosting you, I guess, you know, when you're somebody's guest. So really solid wisdom, Joel, you've done good.
And I would say, don't forget that it might be a good, like, new business also includes retention. Like, it might be a good investment for your freelance job, your agency, to, you know, spend your own money to go visit a client, to put the FaceTime in that you might not necessarily be able to bill back for, but it might pay off in the long run. So don't think that I can't visit the client because they're not going to pay to send me out. Think about, you know, if a trip out there to wherever it is will help you keep that client a little longer, it might be worth, you know, spending a few bucks on to go say hi, go get to know them, and to make sure it's a relationship, not necessarily just a business transaction.
Yeah, absolutely. I've certainly, for myself, you know, I found that the clients that I've stuck with the longest are the ones that I'm closest to personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean, you know, we're best friends and we're talking on the phone and texting all the time, but they're people who, you know, I know a little bit about their family. You know, we've met in person multiple times. We've shared a meal. We've shared drinks. You know, those kinds of relationships are the ones that are going to last the longest. So, you know, pick those people wisely who you're going to have those relationships with, and then, you know, work really hard to maintain them.
Exactly. Yeah. Remember, they're people just like you. They have families. They have relationships. They have birthdays. They have life. And you're a person who knows them. Yeah, it's a business relationship, so you're not best friends, like Chris said, but you're a person who's part of their life. They, you know, if you're an agency that's been working with someone before, they have told their spouse about you. Like, you're part of their life. Their kids might know your name if you're an agency partner or a freelancer. So maybe don't forget that these are people, not just, you know, voices or names at the end of, you know, a telephone line or the internet. So remember that they're people, and sometimes it's nice to get some face-to-face contact with them and let them know that you're a person too.
There you have it.
Cool.
All right.
What's next? What else do we do in this show?
We also like to talk about gear. Huh. We're both obsessive Amazon
purchasers.
Shopaholics indeed. And so Joel and I buy a lot from Amazon, and this is the part of the show where we tell you a thing that we bought recently, or a thing that we got that you can also get on Amazon. So if you go to notarealjob.com com/gear or to any of the show notes. We've got the links to our favorite products. And if you click through and purchase from those links, we get a little kickback from Amazon, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. And it helps us keep the show going. What are you going to put in this week, Joel?
I'm going to put a book. I haven't read this book yet, but I did a little bit of research and it got some good reviews. So it's a book called Positioning, The Battle for Your Mind. So it is a book. This is apparently, according to Amazon, the first book to deal with the problems of communicating to a skeptical media-blitzed public. It describes a revolutionary approach to creating a position in a prospective customer's mind, one that reflects the company's own strengths and weaknesses as well as those of its competitors. So basically, let me back up a second here, Christopher. Mm-hmm. I went to PodCamp Halifax this weekend. I was a volunteer. I helped with some promotion. I'm a fan of the PodCamps, but PodCamps are unconferences, typically about social media, to give you some context. But I gotta say, some of what I heard, Chris, is the same social media digital bullshit we've been talking about for the last 10 years. 7 years at least since, you know, Twitter came out. And I'm just so sick of hearing the same talks, the same nonsense. So I can't be the only one here. And honestly, I wrote a blog post today, kind of a little bit about this that I'll put in the show notes about, you know, if you can't measure your marketing goals, and marketing includes your Facebook page, if you can't measure that against revenue or at least referrals, then what you're doing is nonsense, stupid, childish bullshit. Everything else is ridiculous. So what I'm trying to do is I am this is something I've always been interested in since I got into marketing, but I just want to go back to the classics, learn as much as I can about traditional marketing, you know, the four P's, and one of them is positioning. So I want to learn as much about, you know, classical marketing as possible so that I can become, I guess, really the smartest man in the world. So this is where, I'm not going to say this is where I'm starting, but this is one of the first steps. So I'm putting Positioning, The Battle for Your Mind.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And those are all things
What about you?
Well, we've talked about some of that stuff on the show as well before. Like if you can't measure your marketing, yeah, then it's really just not worth doing, or you should certainly think a lot harder about it before doing it. But anyway, that's all in past episodes, which you can find at notarealjob.com. So what am I putting in this week? I am putting in the Belkin 3-foot micro USB cable with lightning connector adapter. So recently, about a month ago, maybe a little more now, actually, I got the iPhone 5S, mm-hmm, and it meant switching everything over from the dock connector to the lightning connector. So this is a nice little 3-foot USB cable that also has a little adapter. So you can go from micro USB to lightning. And because I have a ton of micro USB cables already, it sort of made sense to do that rather than, you know, going all in on dedicated lightning cables.
But put the link in the doc. I want to see this.
Sure. So I'm really happy with it. I'm actually not using the USB cable that it came with. I really only got it for the lightning connector. But it's a really nice solid little cable. It's well built. I imagine it will last a while, and yeah, I'm a fan.
This looks good. I like this.
I love it. So there you go. Those are our gear picks. And again, you can find those at notarealjob.com/gear or in the show notes. Also really quickly, this was a pick a while ago. Not really a gear pick. We probably shouldn't call it that. But you put in Roxane Gay's Bad Feminist. Mm-hmm. I think it was actually one of our first ones, maybe the first of the gear picks. But I finally finished that yesterday. It was a lot bigger than I expected it to be. I got the ebook version, so I guess I really didn't have a way of knowing.
Okay.
So it took me a little while, but I just finished it, and wow, what a great book.
I'm so glad you liked it. Yeah, like what a game changer for perspective, and yeah.
Yeah, and it's also, so it's got me following Roxane's work across the web, and this is totally unrelated, but if you don't read the toast.net, and it's the-toast.net, she curates a series on there that's like writing from up and coming young writers and things like that. And is also one of the editors there. So like, go read the site. Even like, just everything about this site is amazing. It's Mallory Ortberg also writes for it. It's hilarious. It's an awesome site. Yeah, it is the-toast.net. I read it every day now and Can't recommend it highly enough. It's, you know, it's got a lot of feminist leanings in there, but it's, I think anyone can enjoy it.
Well, I mean, you should, but let's, I don't know if we want to get, you know, so harsh on people, but you should be,
I guess what I'm saying,
or else,
well, you should
asshole.
Absolutely. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, it's not what, I don't know what I'm saying. It's not all to do with gender politics, is I guess what I'm saying. There's a lot of that, and there's a lot of very smart stuff being said, but it's not necessarily 100% that. So, I don't know. There's something for everyone. Or something like
yeah,
that.
Totally anyway. Agree. Roxane Gay and the toast and everything. Jessica Valenti is the best. Brianna Wu is awesome. Mm-hmm. Zoe Quinn. There's so many amazing people out there who are going through some rough fucking time because the internet is a shithole.
Gamer Gators.
So, yeah, the dregs of humanity have made themselves known. So we're.
I don't know if we ever. I don't know if we ever retweeted this, but Tommy, who created our logo as well, which I promise we'll be sharing that soon. He did up a Gamer Gators sort of a like a logo, like a sports team logo. I'm pretty sure we retweeted it, but if we didn't, I'll go back and post that again because it was funny, and it's always fun to get fan art.
Remember, Chris, Gamergate is not about harassing women. That just happens to be what they do the most of.
It happens to be, Joel, about ethics in games journalism.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. Adam Baldwin, the one of the stars of Firefly and Serenity, just happened to coin the hashtag Gamergate hashtag based on a terrible blog post about a woman's sexual relationships with other men. So ethics and games journalism.
It's all about those ethics.
Sucks that Adam Baldwin's kind of a dick. So it makes watching Firefly and Serenity, which are two of my favorite things, a little harder to watch, but oh well.
Is he one of the Baldwins?
He is not one of the Baldwins.
Okay. Cause they've got some kooky ones too.
He'd somehow have magically made himself the worst Baldwin. And that was a difficult title to take.
I mean, we can still call him the worst Baldwin, just not of the Baldwins.
But he's not of the Alex Baldwin.
Sure. And with that terrible plural attempt, this has been Not a Real Job, the comedy podcast that helps you turn the things you love into things that make you money. Where can you find us on the internet, Joel?
Just Bing us. Bing Not a Real Job. Or go to notarealjob.com, AOL.
You know, I've never actually binged us. So I don't know if we show up.
AOL keyword, Narge Dogs.
Let's see, not a real.
Oh my God. So we watched The Amazing Spider-Man last night with Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield, who are, of course, and Martin Sheen, who are, of course, you know, the three greatest, most beautiful people.
Are we talking one or are we talking two?
One. Well, I haven't seen two yet either. What a terrible film. But good for Bing. Got in there every other scene.
I saw that with a friend of mine who's like a super big comic nerd. And I mean that in the most endearing, loving way possible, of course. But anyway, during the movie, and this was like kind of right when it came out, so there were a lot of people in the movie theater. Every time something went askew from the comic or was done in a stupid way, my friend would cry out at the screen. And by the end of the movie, we were getting a lot of dirty looks in our direction. But it was hilarious.
Is your friend a terrible person?
Well,
that sounds like something a terrible person might do.
I make no comment.
Look, I had to suffer through The Hobbit without making any audible sounds. I rolled my eyes a lot and shook my fists, but I kept quiet.
Oh, I had a Hobbit experience. Somebody was talking in the theater, which is my ultimate pet peeve. So I left. Well, no, I'm talking like full on conversations, not just like upset crying at the screen.
Okay.
So fortunately, you know, I left the theater to get the management. Fortunately,
really?
Didn't miss anything. Oh, yeah. I was not happy.
Shit, that's amazing.
Yeah. Fortunately, I didn't miss anything because, you know, it was one of the 100-some-odd minutes when nothing valuable happened.
Literally nothing happens in that whole film.
But yeah, that was quite the experience. Anyway.
Do you have any Alamo's Drafts House in New York?
They had one, but it closed or didn't end up opening. Something happened. I think there's one in Yonkers, but I've never been to Yonkers. So,
I've heard of Yonkers.
I know it's like a place, but it's...
Isn't Yonkers an album or a song by Tyler, the Creator?
It certainly could be. Who's Tyler, the Creator?
Tyler, the Creator. He's a hip-hop artist.
Okay. I only know Lauryn Hill and Kanye West. Those are my two.
Oof. I think that might be racist. Anyway, it seems like something Brooklyn might have is a movie theater where there's no talking and also...
Well, Joel... I'm sure we've discussed this. I don't go to Brooklyn. I don't like Brooklyn.
You live in Queens.
Yeah.
Where Kevin James and What's-Her-Face live.
I don't think that's true.
I think so. And Jerry Stiller.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Anyway, we got to wrap this up. A lot of nothing has happened for a while.
Twitter.com/NargeCast. Please follow us there at Chris Van Patten and at Joel Kelly as well. NotARealJob.com has all the links. Everything we've mentioned on the show will be in the show notes. You can also find us on YouTube. YouTube.com/NargeCast has all of the shows archived. Not all of the shows, like since 50 or something. But that's a really great way to share the show with your friends because you can link directly to certain portions. So like if you know someone going on a business trip soon, you can just click that segment, load it up, and send it to them, and they can get our wisdom.
That's a good idea. You should everyone do that.
We haven't gotten any reviews in a while. I checked today, and it's been a couple months actually since we got a new review. So please go check us out on iTunes, notarealjob.com/iTunes. Very easy to sign in there and give us a couple stars. We really appreciate it, and it helps the show, helps us feel better about wasting our time making the show. Finally, questions. If you have a question you want us to answer on the show, notarealjob.com/questions is the place to do that. And I think that's everything.
I think we nailed it.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.
I love you all to itty bitty bits.